You are now tuned in to the Togetherness Podcast with your hosts, Albany and Dre.
And this is Albany and Dre with the Togetherness Podcast, episode number 16, part 2 of finding security before being secured in your relationship. That's all today, and we want to just provide you with so much information. We just hope that you will be able to glean from the things we share. Feel free to ask questions. Feel free to jump in and join us in the conversation if you like. I'm going to open up and just share a little bit about myself. My name is Albany Riggins. I'm a relationship coach and author, and I'm a woman that has had many experiences with fear in my life, and also I've had experiences with failed relationships, whether I seen it, experienced it, or heard it, or whatever you want to call it. I understand what it takes to make relationships work, but also at the same time, I have been challenged myself, and I just decided to go on a journey to really just discover what is the foundational pieces to lasting relationships, and why hurting people hurt people, and what can we do about making life better to have a better love life with our spouses. So I'm going to turn it over to Dre and let Dre open up his opening. Dre?
How you doing? Dre, I do not pretend to be a relationship guru, a love expert, any of that stuff. I'm a guy who failed in his marriage. And I went to school, got his degree, master's degree in marriage and family counseling, in hopes to help other couples that were in a similar situation that I was in a couple of years ago get over that hump and live together in their marriages. So I'm excited to have this conversation today. I'm excited to be partnered up with Albany Riggins, and we're looking forward to being a help to you. And if you know anybody that would benefit from this, or even if you don't know anybody that would benefit from this, please share this out. Share this video out. Make sure everybody has an opportunity to watch this. Interact with us on Get Vocal on Facebook or YouTube. We will read your comments. Hey, Jada, we're going to read your comments live on air, answer any questions you may have. And also, if you're listening and watching by way of Get Vocal, I'm going to start doing this. Hit subscribe to this channel so that it'll let you know every time we have a show. All right? Thank you.
Thank you, Dre. Thank you. Thank you. So I want to just talk to you about some things. Now, on last week when we talked about it, we had part one and it was so wonderful. But we had a lot of questions about some mental health things. We talked about a little things about how do you support your partner. And I wanted to ask you some questions about that piece right there, as far as not so much as the mental health piece, but the part about when you're in a relationship and your partner doesn't really want to take responsibility for some of their behaviors. And I think it was some questions that was asked that maybe we want to kind of follow back up on too, Dre.
Yeah, all right, I'm with it. I think there's another aspect of it that always has to be considered. It has to be considered. And when it comes to counseling, I think, again, we talk about this often, but people have this stigma that if you go to counseling for anything, that you're crazy, there's something wrong with you mentally. That's not always the case. Sometimes it's good just to be able to talk to somebody about what it is you're going through, and you help you put the pieces together. In most cases, the person that's going to counseling know why they're there. They just need assistance in getting to a place where they can find healing, find renewal, find healing, and sometimes the counselor is just there to sort of guide them in the right way. So mental health is an aspect that people may shy from, but if utilized properly, we all can benefit from it. And in a marriage, in a relationship, it'll help the marriage and relationship grow as well.
You know, some of the conversations that we was having about the dependency issues. We talked about interdependency, codependency, and I wanted to know if there was some way that you can break it down to how can we be interdependent in our relationships.
Okay. So codependency and interdependency, sometimes, you know, there's a fine line, and I was having a conversation with somebody about this recently when it comes to codependency and interdependency. Codependency sort of has this thing about it where this person that you're with, you're fully dependent on to make you happy. and to provide everything for you. Like, you don't feel anything about yourself positive unless that person affirms it in you. You become codependent. You can't live independently without that person. You, in a sense, you can't, you feel like you can't survive without that person's support. Interdependency is being able to support yourself, but allowing somebody else to come together and working together. And although you can be independent and I can be independent, together we're interdependent, working together to make sure that our goals are met, our needs are met, our relationship is growing, our children's needs are met, and things like that. So, so interdependency is more of a working together, where codependency is I can't survive without. Or the feeling of I can't survive without.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Boogie said that's an explanation. He said, because people overuse that term. Yes. He said codependency. Boogie did. Yeah. Yeah, I think that is the way that you brought it down. And I would like for you to tell us how, okay, like, I understand that, you know, everybody has these tendencies, but how is it that people can become more healthier and create healthier ways of living, cohabiting together, so they won't be dependent upon the other person, or they won't be, you know, feeling like they are enabling the other person also, because it goes both ways, you know, in their behavior. Yeah. So how do people turn that around? How do they become, get to a place where they can live independently, depending on their selves for happiness, joy, peace, and all these other things?
So I guess I'm gonna answer that in two ways. The first thing is, before you get into a relationship, okay, and I'll answer it from that perspective, go into the relationships and into a relationship not sacrificing your needs and your wants, or losing your identity in the relationship. Once you do that, you risk yourself being codependent on the other person. We talked last week briefly about The Runaway Bride, and how in that movie, Julia Roberts' character didn't know what she liked. She didn't know what she wanted. And right before the wedding, and actually in many of the cases, she's about to get married and walking down the aisle, and she takes off running because she didn't know who she was. She didn't know what she wanted. She didn't know what she liked. And if she had gotten into that marriage, she probably would have sought her husband out for her very identity, you know, and it works vice versa. Husbands can go through that also. So before you go into a relationship, find out who you are, be secure in who you are, identify those things that you like about yourself, the things that you like doing, and don't sacrifice all those things. If you are in a relationship with somebody that has no desire to be engaged in any activity that you like, that's a red flag. You may not want to be in that relationship, okay? They may be looking for somebody to be codependent on them. So be watchful. If they have no desire of getting into any activity that you like, I think you should head for the hills, all right? But in a marriage, it's important to just take a sort of like a mental break and identify those things that you sort of sacrificed, and try to get back into that so that you can refine yourself without leaving the relationship, without leaving the marriage. And that's going to come with some help. It's not going to be easy when two people may have lived together for 3 or 4 years and one of them finally says, this is not who I am. I spent the past 3 years being who you want me to be, and I am not myself, and I need to find myself. A lot of cases, either the husband or the wife will leave in that situation because they need to refine themselves. I wouldn't recommend leaving, but trying to find help, counseling, something that you can, where you can come together, talk about those things, and really get to know each other, and sort of start dating and restarting the relationship again, so that you can get to know each other truly. Hopefully, I answered that question. Hopefully, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. I had a client at one time, she reached out and she was saying that she didn't understand how she really was in a relationship with her husband, been in a relationship for a long time, but she felt like they were growing apart because she had kind of went through her journey in life where she kind of evolved and she began to see things from a different perspective. And it's like they were growing apart. And so her idea was like, what do you do at a place where you are with someone that you loved at one time, and now you find yourself growing apart from them because you are seeking after other things, not meaning seeking after new love, but just things that she truly enjoys, her passions, her, you know, all these other desires that she really has. So what are your thoughts about that?
Again, that's very important. Have you ever read the book, His Needs, Her Needs?
Yeah, I've heard of that book, but I've never read the book.
It's a great book. They give an example in that book about a husband and wife. They get married, and what happened is the when they were dating, the boyfriend was into fitness and running and jogging and going to the gym and all this stuff. And she wanted to sort of impress him, so she started to do the same things. And so all of a sudden, she became active in fitness, and she was concerned about going to the gym and working out and things like that. And every movie that he wanted to watch, she had to go see with him. And then she started liking that genre of movies. And how you doing, Stephen? Hi, everybody on Facebook. Thank you so much for watching also. And so they got married. They get married. And about 2-3 years into marriage, she stops doing those things that she was doing with her fiance and her boyfriend. She stopped doing those things. And it got to the point where he was like, babe, how come you don't come to the gym anymore? And her response was, well, that was really your thing. I was never really into it, but I did it because you liked it. I got you now. So yeah, I don't have to do that no more. You know? And that's a tough thing because it does create it. Now that situation is sort of like the opposite. Now she's just like, I don't care anymore. You know, I'm just going to do me because I got you. But on the flip side, that could be a sign that this woman or this husband who's in that situation don't know themselves, and they need the affirmation, or they need their spouse to tell them who they are, or their boy, because it happens in boyfriend girlfriend relationships also.
Yeah.
It's important for people to know who they are before they get in a relationship and have their own desires, have their own likes, you know, hang out with their own friends. So I don't agree that people should have friends outside of their marriage. For instance, like if I'm married and I have a friend, whether it's male or female, that has or wants nothing to do with my wife, we can't be friends at all. Like there is no, okay, well, this is my friend, not really your friend. So I'm going to hang out with my friend. No, you can't come because this is like our thing. That's dangerous. You can't do that. I don't care what it is. I don't care how long we've been in the relationship. Like I could grow up with somebody, and if they tell me, yeah, I'm not really feeling your wife, whether it's female or male. So yeah, I would rather them not come than I'm going to say, then you rather me not coming too. All right. So it has to be that way. But having friends that you grew up with that there's a mutual love for both, go out, hang out with them for a little bit and have your own, the things that you are interested in, and also engage in each other's interests. I don't like skiing. I hate skiing. I don't like the snow. I'm going to say it now. I don't like it. But if I was to date and eventually marry somebody that enjoyed skiing, I may have to trek it to New Hampshire, to Colorado, to somewhere in North, you know, Canada, or maybe even to Iceland or whatever, to try skiing every now and then, because that's what she likes, and I'm going to engage in that. I'm not a skier, don't like the snow, but I will because that's what she is. She's into, and vice versa. I love the Knicks, right. And if I get tickets to the Knicks, every now and then I want to be able to enjoy that experience with my wife because I love it, and I want to share that experience also. And that's not saying that she has to engage in what I like, but her desire to be a part of what I like tells me that she really does care about me, and vice versa. However, that's not saying she has to like it. You know, she still likes her own things, and those things I'll be able to engage with as well. And that's what that means. So don't lose yourself in a marriage. Bring who you are and become interconnected in that marriage.
I think that was some good suggestions that you made and good points that you made. You pointed out about, first of all, the book "His Needs, Her Needs" by William Shannon put in there William F. Harley Jr. So if anyone wants to check that book, I'll check it out. Sounds like he has some good information in there to share. Boogie also said, he asked the question, Dre. He said, how does one separate from someone who is codependent on them and threatens self-harm? So that's a good point to talk about.
First, I would ask, how close are they with their parents? And I'm getting on the phone with their mom and their father and say, listen, and be perfectly honest, because that's what support systems are for. Right. If they have a strong support system, you have to be able to pull that support system in, because if you don't, then you're going to feel horrible if something bad happened to that person, or they're going to keep you trapped in that. Don't get trapped. There's a support system. There's people there that loves them too. Bring them in, have a intervention and sit down with them and say, listen, and beyond, at first, I would recommend speaking with the parent first and say, listen, the relationship's not working out for both of us, but she has, or he has, nothing else outside of me and is very codependent on me. And we're hurting each other, not physically, but emotionally, and we're not able to find fullness in our relationship. It's best that we part ways, but she's threatening to hurt herself. He's threatening to hurt himself. Can we have a meeting with her so that we can support her through this, or him through this?
Exactly. I think that's very important to have a support system. And a lot of people may or may not believe in having a support system, but I believe whether it's a male or a female, that like you're in a relationship and you have a power couple. I like to call them power couples, male or female couples, to join, that you hold yourself accountable to. Some people may even have like loved ones, like you said, but I believe that you need to have someone, whether you the male or you the female, have someone standing in your corner to be able to talk to about your relationship issues, your personal issues. But it has to be someone that's totally in alignment to what you believe in and what you're striving for, because even if they're not on the same page, or they're not actually going in the same direction that you're going, and they're not believing the same things that you believe, it doesn't do you any good to be able to connect with someone and hold them accountable for you in your relationship when they don't even believe in what you believe in, or are your thoughts the thoughts that need to be, you know, you need to bring forth? Are you thinking right? So when people say that, okay, I'm in this relationship with someone and I love them so deeply that I'm willing to hurt myself, that is a form of codependency right there within itself. And you being the person that's on the other side of the table, you have to realize that if you allow yourself to not go to that that support team or try to seek help, you enable them to hold you hostage. Because guess what? A lot of times when people say they really want to harm themselves, that's a cry for help. But at the same time, sometimes when people really want to do harm to themselves, they don't tell anybody. They just do it. So you got to look at it from both ends of the spectrum. That never take it lightly. It's a cry for help, definitely. But you need to be able to hold yourself accountable to say, you know what, I'm not going to enable this. Not only that, I'm going to hold them accountable by going to a support team and let's get them some help. So, Dre,
Yeah, well, Boogie wrote, makes sense, almost like creating a safe space before trying to leave. And Jack Chernak said on Facebook, we may need some professional help as well. Yeah, they would definitely need professional help. And also, I was, something came to my mind about that. Oh, if they're willing to say that that they will hurt themselves if you leave them, imagine if you do. Like, they would also try to hurt you. Kill your reputation, maybe hurt you physically. They're the ones that be, you know, trying to bust the windows out your car, things like that. So that's why. So creating a safe space is not just for the person who is threatening to hurt themselves. It's also for you as well. Right. So getting that support system together helps cover you and it helps cover them.
I think it's so important that we do as individuals take seriously threats. I think we in relationships, when you, there are signs. I do believe that there are signs that follow from the beginning of a relationship all the way through the process of being in a relationship with someone, that you can see the signs of insecurity, signs that they may cause harm. Listen to the things that they say and never take it lightly that this person has a very poor self-esteem, that they may do some things to you that would damage your reputation. They may do some things that may harm you emotionally, physically. So I think that finding security is just doing that alone in the beginning, looking at, you know, how is their mental health? How well established are they in and they're controlling their emotions and things of that nature? Are they out of control? Are they still, do they not have self-control? And I think that sometimes you'll find that when you have people that want to cause harm to themselves. So, yeah. Well, I mean, those are some good things that you said. Now, let me ask you this. Yeah. Let's see if somebody said, oh yeah, Creighton, that was Boogie. I was just trying to see if someone has chimed in. What do you think about the people that you share? I know you said something about friends, okay? Having friendships and relationships and you talking to the opposite sex about your relationship issues and you find insecurity in that. You know what I'm saying? You find insecurity in that, but at the same time, you find yourself supporting that relationship more than you do your own because you find a safe place, right? Can we talk about that? Because sometimes we get our security from other people because we're going through in our relationship, you find yourself caught in another relationship through that, just that conversation emotionally, you're attached to that person. So let's talk about that a little bit.
From a guy's perspective, if you don't mind, I'll go from a guy's perspective and you can probably share from a female's perspective. There are three groups of people that a guy should never talk to about their relationships. Three groups, okay? One is your dogs. Like, not your friends. I'm talking about, like, your dogs. Like, these are dudes that, you know, you can call them up and they'll be right there to do some crazy, irresponsible things with you. You don't talk to them about your relationships, okay? Don't do it. If you know that you guys hang out at the bar, you drink, and you don't want to talk to that person about your relationships, okay? Wrong plane there to talk. Two, your family, especially if they're not looking at the marriage as a unit and they're only there to support you. Ratchet Kings. Yeah, Boogie on their vocals said Ratchet Kings. Your family. Leave your family out of your marriage mess. Okay, because after the mess is over, they're still looking at your spouse as the bad person.
Right.
Careful. Unless you have a strong support system where you know without a shadow of a doubt that you can go to their parents or your parents, they'll sit you both down because they love you equally and they're concerned about your marriage. Yes. Okay. Believe your cousins, your auntie nems, your uncle nems, your tantes, your tios, leave them out of it because they may give you some very bad advice and it'll cause more of a strain. And not that they don't really care about you, but you're looking to talk to people that are concerned about your relationship and your marriage. Another thing is, as a man, stay away from females that have absolutely nothing to do with your wife. Okay. Now, I would even go as far as to recommend, if you can trust them, building a decent rapport with their best friends so that you can chime some things off of them. Say, hey, you know, I did this the other day and I could tell it annoyed her. Can you give me some insight so that I don't do it again? Or, you know, things like that. But females that have nothing to do with your wife, even if they do, because let's be honest, like some women, especially if you're an attractive young man, some women may get close to your wife to try to get in close with you. Just be cautious, be careful, and don't fall for the traps. But women and people of the opposite sex will look to get close to you, put their arm around you, and wait for the opportunity to sort of get their foot in. So just be very careful with that, who you confide in, especially if they're non-professional, if they're coworkers. If they're somebody you just met, just watch out for that because it could be a recipe for disaster. But what about from the female perspective?
Well, from a female perspective, I mean, I can I can open a can of worms about how, you know, a lot of times I found that, you know, and I've been through this experience myself. I can be totally honest when I say that you never know what that person's intent is. You can come in and you can be a very open person and just say, hey, it's a mutual understanding that we're friends. And then you begin to share, you begin to have conversations, and then you find out that your ideal of us being friends is one thing, but this person over here, intentions are totally on. So you do have to create a safe place for yourself there too, because you don't know what the other person will do. You don't know what kind of bag they're going to come out of. So you really do have to protect not only yourself, but you have to protect your relationship when you are having these relationships with the opposite sex. And personally, in my marriage, my husband had his female friend and I had a male friend. But there was nothing that, hey, it was a secret. It was not a secret. I knew this person. We talked. She called. We talked. And, you know, this person talked. And I told my husband about my male friend because, number one, I feel like, if it's nothing to it, then why does it need to be a secret, right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be a secret. And I think that if you do have, because, you know, these are college friends, right? People from college. We've known each other for several years. But at the same time, I think that if you do have relationships with the opposite sex, I do believe what you said, Dre, that they do need to respect your relationship or even have interest in your partner, you know, getting to know them on a level. And so I think that when you don't have that, I think sometimes things can get kind of messy, and I think it still can get messy. So we just have to really be protective of our relationship and not get emotionally, because the part that really messes up is that people get emotionally attached to people and they find security in that piece. It's not the fact that I got this friend, it's that when things start to untangle and fall apart, you find security in other places, and then you want to try to mend or try to have something that you don't have in your relationship, and that's when the emotional attachment comes and yourself kind of like missing in your relationship. So let me see if somebody had mentioned something in the groups.
Hello, and if I don't mind chiming in on that real quick.
Yeah,
and that could be for some, if they have a friend of the opposite sex. Right. And they only want to be friends with, you know, that person and not with the spouse. Sometimes the spouse that is the friend could see that as a license to be reckless.
Right. You know,
this person I can be reckless with. I can share secrets with. We have this, you know, secret connection outside of my marriage. So and there are things I could probably get away with and right. You know, it'd be okay. Be careful, guys. Just be careful.
You do. You really have to be careful.
Yeah.
Shannon said three groups that a guy shouldn't talk to about his relationship. She said his dogs, his family. She was repeating what you said. His females in a relationship with your wife is the is this the list? I yes, guess she said is the best the list. Yes.
Yeah.
She said, "What creates the initial bond?" Boogie question. He said, "What creates the initial bond?"
Is that between two people or two friends, Boogie? Anyway, and Shannon actually responded to Boogie conversation and going past surface level discussion, common ground, mutual understanding, and a like for the person. All right, I guess she's answering Boogie's question. Yeah. So
he said, "Man, he's an outsider." Yeah. How did what creates mutual? What creates it? I mean, I just think there's something that you're seeking that's missing.
Wait a minute, Shannon, are you fact checking us? Like Shannon said that she's reading articles. I think she's fact checking us. She's on.
All right, Shannon. Yeah. So, I mean, would you agree that a bond between a person and the opposite sex in a relationship, if you're in a relationship, and how that bond creates with someone on the outside, I think it's something that's missing or something that you're seeking after, and you find some peace or some comfort there, and you end up liking it emotionally, and you begin to attach yourself to that, and you find yourself kind of wavering back and forth. So in the relationship that you have, you end up sometimes not sharing, opening up as much to your partner that you would the person on the outside. So I think that there's some type of connection that you get from that, like that.
Yeah.
Jada said it's the 80-20%, whatever you're not getting in your relationship, you'll seek friendship elsewhere. So you want to talk about that, Dre?
Yeah, I think that's true. I think that's true. Like even, and it's like that with relationships, period. Like I remember growing up, I had different groups of friends for different kinds of things. Like when I wanted to, because I was, I grew up athletic, always playing basketball, different sports. And I'm gonna disclose some things about myself that may shock some of you and some of you on Facebook watching also. So please don't judge me. This was over 20 years ago. All right. Literally over 20 years ago. But I had my friends that I can go play ball with. We hang out, you know, we play ball, you know, all day. Like we just boom. Then I also had friends that, you know, when I wanted to just go out and party and connect with, and we went out and party. All right. They met that particular need that I had. Right. Then I also had those friends that if I just needed to, you know, get together and, you know, smoke weed with, and, you know, it was like that. I don't do that today. Haven't done it since I was 17. All right. So, yeah, but like we certain things we have people for, and we sort of compartmentalize our relationships for what's what our needs are in our lives, right? So if we're not getting something that we need in our marriage, right? That's friendship, that's connection, that's trust, that's security, that's respect, all those things. If we're not getting that, a lot of times people aren't just going to sit and say, you know what, this need isn't going to be met, so I'm just going to live and just do whatever. And most times people don't communicate that, so the need will never get met in the marriage, so they look outside for it. You know, whatever they can't find in the marriage, they'll find somewhere else. And it may not necessarily be cheating, right? It may not necessarily be cheating, because the sex could be absolutely amazing in the marriage. You guys aren't friends, so you're not looking for somebody outside the marriage to give you explosive, mind-blowing sex. You're looking for somebody just to have a connection with, right? To talk with, but then that creates an emotional connection, which will eventually land in the bedroom and start to affect that as well. But so people do that, but it's important to try to find a person that's able to meet all of those needs, and that's where compatibility comes in. Compatibility is a big thing. Not just looking at a girl and saying, "Wow, she looks amazing. She is going to be a great wife one day," like, or vice versa. This man, you know, got a good job, you know, approaching seven figures, got his own home or whatever, a penthouse in the city. They're going to be a good husband. Let's not look at things like that. We need to look, when we get into relationships and create connections, we're looking for compatibility, especially if we're looking to create intimate relationships with somebody.
Right. Totally agree, Dre. Totally agree. So,
nice.
Catch fights, not feelings. Did someone else say something?
No, you want a connection, catch fights, not feelings. Yeah. Jada writes, LOL, write Shannon of what she said. Oh, yeah. So, but what are your thoughts on that?
I totally agree. I feel like that, you know, it happens, right? You're in a relationship and you see, like you said, you're not going to sit and just not do. And I think that's why the voice matters. We have to learn how to communicate our feelings, be very direct about what it is that we need and what we want in our relationship. And that moment when you begin to share and you open up to your partner, not only are you giving yourself permission to do it, but you're standing up in your relationship, because when the relationship falls apart, if you didn't do your part, if you never spoke up for yourself, then guess what? You weren't secure, obviously, in what you needed, number one. But also, you are not being accountable to your relationship when you know that there's a problem that you're not being serviced with, right? There's an issue that you have. And if you don't tell your partner what your concerns are, then you're not together walking with your partner to hold the marriage up, be accountable towards the marriage. It's not just yourself, but it's also for the marriage. So when I like to say, when people say, oh, my marriage fell apart, and I always say, well, what did you do? Did you do your part? Because even if your partner's not doing their part, you still have a role to play in there. And if that marriage falls apart, it's both of you to make sure that you do the right thing together. And so I like to get it from that perspective, that we have to share. I know many times in my relationship, there were a lot of things that I needed my husband to do for me. And I always made sure that I voiced, this is what I need from you. I need your love. I need your time. I need your affection. And I think that if I didn't, then if he wasn't giving it to me, then why would I be sad about it? Why would I be upset? Mm-hmm. I couldn't if I never told him what I needed. And so guess what? It took the responsibility and put that on him to have a decision. He had a choice to make. Are you willing to do this for your partner? And if you don't, then what's the next step? You know, what happens if that partner is not willing to give you what you need, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I wanted to say this. Somebody wrote, well, Shannon's in both Facebook and
right. Vocals.
She literally could be in two places at once. But she wrote on Get Vocal, for those that are watching on Facebook, effective communication and an active listener are game changers in a relationship. Right. And boom, if I can hashtag that, I would, and share it out. She also writes, you are called to play your part even when others aren't playing theirs. Their inactivity shouldn't be a distraction for your activity. Yo, she's on her money today. Go ahead, Shannon. Yeah. You need to write a book. You need to write a book. Get comfortable in the uncomfortable. There is growth there. Like she needs to write a book. All right. So right. I'm going to connect you with a couple of my peeps who do publishing. Unless you've already have books, like five of them on Amazon, Shannon. So if you guys don't, Shannon is in the Facebook room. Please, Shannon, put your Amazon link so that people can go and buy your book. So she's an actual, literal published author. So. Well, good stuff, Shannon.
Now, Stephen said you asked me to fix.
Oh, I hear you, Stephen. So, Stephen wrote, "You asked me to fix the shelf. I said I would. No need to remind me every 6 months." That's communication 101, right? Don't bother me. I'm gonna get to it, babe. I said in 2012 I'll get to it. I get to it. Leave me alone.
So that's
yeah.
Bring out right there. I like that topic about being accountable for yourself and play your part and being willing to communicate, because if we're not willing to share, and you know, I think that once you're in a relationship or you're committed to each other, there should not be an issue with communicating how you truly feel. I think that it, over time, it does take time for people to really, in the beginning of a relationship, to understand, you know, to how to express yourself to that person. They may feel uncomfortable in the beginning, but when you get into a serious relationship, I do believe that there, that door opens up and you really find how to meet the needs of the partner. I had
We need to be as brave in communication with our spouses as we are in communication on Facebook and Twitter and all that stuff. Because some of us get overly brave on right. social media. And then when it comes to our spouses, we're like,
I can't say it. I got a frog in my throat, right?
You know what I'll do? I'll put a subliminal on Facebook. Hopefully my spouse will read it. And then they'll get my drift, right?
I'll send him a text, right?
Yeah.
Hopefully he'll send him a message. So yeah. Jada said, how long have you been married for? 20 years, Jada. 20 years. We were 20 years in marriage. 20 long years. And you want to know what kept us together? You want to know what really kept us together? Staying in the fight. For 20 years, the biggest thing was that finding the courage to just say, you know what, all of the crap you go through in a relationship, and you realize that you, when you truly love somebody, sometimes you're willing to accept some things that you don't want to accept. Sometimes you compromise, and then at the same time, you find out what really matters to you. You know, the things that really matter are the things that really hold you together. But at the same time, sometimes things still fall apart.
She wrote a book.
You see? Okay, we're gonna have to put that in the article. But no, I'm human just like you are. You are. I have struggled. I have been in my marriage. My marriage has felt falling apart. Came back together, falling apart. We're fighting. We're doing everything that married people do. But at the same time, at the end of the day, you still have a decision to make, right? You have to decide for yourself what it is that you truly want, what's going to truly make you happy, and is this the person that's going to be a life longer for you, you know? Is this person going to be there to the end, or is this relationship taking you down on a journey that, you know what, I think it's time to separate? Because when you find yourself in a place where you're unhappy and it's creating all the other problems, and you don't see yourself healthy and whole, then you have to make a decision for yourself. Are you living in a secure relationship, and are you being secure yourself and where you are in that relationship? So let's see what Shannon said. Dre, what did she say?
Trust lends itself to vulnerability. Vulnerability lends itself to the grooves of safe space. When we are transparent and authentic with our lovers, spouses, significant, it is best practice that there is trust and a safe space. Words weren't being used against you. Time won't rehash what you did or said in the heat of the moment. Mm-hmm. Man, listen, I'm just sitting here on this shelf in was I supposed to read that? In anticipation of these conversations. Yeah. And I do want to acknowledge everybody on Facebook, because there's an active conversation going on Facebook from Zanaya Tracy Carver, who isn't on Get Vocal, but she's over here. Jack Chernak, what's going on, bro? A few others, Zanaya Turner, Linda Edwards, hi Miss Linda, Ricky, Uncle Ricky, what's going on? Shannon's on there too. So there's some engagement here on Facebook. I can't really see what's happening on YouTube. But thank you, everybody, for commenting and leaving your responses and engaging in the conversation here. And she literally just posted something on Facebook too, Shannon. Pick a spot. You're making me dizzy. She wrote on Facebook, it's a condition of your heart. If you aren't functioning in a good heart and headspace, your conversation with your mate will be off. We have to go back to any of these type of relationships. Very true. Right. No, I'm kidding, Shannon.
Mm-hmm. And I see Shannon, she's like I said, you have to make a decision to choose your partner every day. I think that being proactive in your relationships is so important. I think that it is a decision that you every day that you have to look at the fact that I chose you. So you created what you have.
Yeah. Yep. You wake up, look over at your spouse, and all that morning breath, you say, I chose you. Let it go. Let it go. All right? That's a very beautiful thing. And again, that's a big thing about love. Love is a decision that one has to make. You know, I choose to love you. I chose you, and I'm going to choose to continue to love you beyond emotions. Beyond all the feelings, I'm going to love you. I'm going to let my love be active based, action based. I'm just going to love on you. Yeah.
Shannon.
Help to brush your teeth too, babe. Yeah.
Pokemon. Herbie said, like choosing Pokemon.
Like choosing Pokemon?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But all those things will help add security even before getting into a relationship. Knowing exactly who you are. Zanaya wrote on Facebook, I feel sometimes if they don't like what you say, I say there's a door, don't let it hit you on the way out. Well, again, that's when you're dealing with insecure people.
Right.
Some people just don't like to be told anything, and they can't speak. They... Mm-hmm. are extremely sensitive when somebody is telling them something, even if it's for their benefit.
Right.
And it's like having children. Let's break it down to that. When we have children, we want the best for them, and we may say something to them that they may not like. Mm-hmm. And it's for their benefit. You know, they may feel a certain type of way, but yet and still it's for their benefit. Even relationships with our bosses, some of our bosses, like I'm a teacher, right? And as a teacher, we get observed several times, or a couple of times throughout the year. And some of us may get offended if we're told that we may do something a little better by doing it a different kind of way. And some of us may get offended by that, but really that's constructive criticism to help, right? That's what it is. In a marriage, your spouse may say, babe, this offended me and it made me feel very bad. I am hurt.
Right.
That's not something to attack you with. That's sort of like an opportunity for you to say, okay, I'm sorry. I didn't get this right. I'm going to try to get it right the next time so that you don't feel hurt anymore. Yeah, and Jada said it depends on the delivery as well.
It is.
That is true.
Okay. The delivery, I think, should come from a place of love. And I think we talked about this last week about adding value, uplifting. I mean, if a person feel like they're torn down when you speak to them about something that they've done in error, I don't think that they will receive it well. And I think that they will take it as constructive. They won't take it as constructive criticism. They'll take it as though you're insulting them or you're, demising them. So I think that as individuals in relationships, we have to be aware of the things that we do. And sometimes we're not. But when it does come to someone bringing it to our attention, we got to be so, you know, just in tune with ourselves to say, hey, I'm willing to just listen and learn from experience and change some of my behaviors. I've been in that situation too, right? To sit back and re-examine myself. I do it often, but I'm not, you know, we're not perfect people, but at the same time, what we're supposed to do is find that place where we can feel enough. We can be so secure in ourselves, because this is all about security. We can be so secure in ourselves that if someone tells us that we're doing something wrong, that we can say, you know what, I'm willing to work on that. I'm willing to even
ask.
Right.
Or even ask, how can I do that better then? Please tell me, let me know. Like, exactly. I want to do better.
Right. And I think it's that's love right there. When you want to work on yourself enough to make that other person happy in the midst of them complaining, because there are things that's always being said in the relationship all the time. Like, hey, when I come home from work, there's never food, or the house is never clean. Things that's being said consistently, those are things that we need to start paying attention to and say, hey, these are some behaviors that I have. Let me work on I don't want my spouse to feel like I'm not showing up, or I don't care about their feelings or the things that they are interested or need, because some people have those needs. They like to feel comfortable when they come home from, you know. So I just think that being secure in yourself, that you can take those little bitty things that may feel like criticism and use them for your good.
Yeah.
Use them for your good.
Yeah. So it is about 2 minutes to 9 o'clock. And wait, but before we do that, Boogie got a question. Stephen wrote, the opposite would be like the marriage in The Sixth Sense. The guy was dead and didn't notice any difference in his wife's behavior toward him. That is a very good analogy, a very good example, Stephen. This guy was dead. He was talking. There was no response. Wow. I am going to watch that movie again. And I'm actually I'm a creator. That's deep. That is deep. Thanks for sharing that, Stephen. Boogie wrote, any advice on how to turn a relationship that started off sexual interactions, but then upon realization that it might cause harm to the next person, you want to delay the sexual activities and work on building yourself individually with possibility of regaining sexually or maybe not? Okay, that's a good question. So any advice on that? Would you like to take that first?
Okay, let me understand the question. I that was a lot. That was a mouthful. So he said, when you're in a relationship and it start off sexually,
yeah,
and you want to change it, more to deal with your emotional stuff, your junk, right?
Yeah. So I guess they want to, they're taking a break to sort of like focus on themselves and then hopefully get to that place again, right?
Right. I think that's a cool thing to do. I mean, so many people do go in first date, you know, they have sex, you know, people do different things these days. So I think that if you do find yourself in a relationship where you it was all about the sex, and now you like, hey, I want to connect with them on another different level. Putting that in place to say, hey, we're not going to do the sex thing for a while. Let's find each other. Let's find how we really connect. I think that's the way to do it. But the way to do it is that you have to set boundaries. It's just a decision. It's just making up your mind and saying, hey, I want to see you different. So explore with them. And the way that you can explore is just go out on some date with that person and create that space, like take couple with you. So sometimes you get caught up and you feel like when you're in an intimate space, but if you feel like you need some accountability, go on dates, go out with couples, go out on adventures, things that's going to take you outside. Don't have to worry about putting yourself in a room where you'll get kind of connected. Just be open-minded about how to do this relationship without having sex, without feeling like we want to have sex. There's all kinds of things that you can do. Don't put yourself in situations where you want to have sex.
Yeah, and I think one of the best things to do also from jump is sort of to try to change your mindset on sex. So we live in a society where sex is largely recreational.
Right.
Sex is about having fun. We can meet somebody and connect that way, and not even know who the person is, and be good if we don't see them at all the next day. And that's the dangers of recreational sex.
Right.
There's a possibility of getting in your feelings. It is. Yeah. You're looking to get into situations where you're engaging in recreational sex, you risk the chance of getting too deep emotionally.
Right.
And one person really wanting anything deeper than physical connection. I think what you were saying was absolutely right. Take a break, establish boundaries, say, no, let's not go to each other's houses anymore. Right. Especially if we're alone, because things may pop off. And literally pop off. Like, just... so we really got... Yeah, but again, like, that's the dangers of recreational sex. Because that happens. For example, I'm trying to be celibate without focusing so much on it. But if I came across someone and we vibe, then I start thinking, bro, you a man. You know what that indicates? That you are a healthy man. All right. I don't know if one man who is trying to be celibate and they see a beautiful young lady and they start vibing, don't think thoughts like, yo, she like you're drinking coffee. And she goes up to go to the bathroom, and you look, and it's like, and you're trying to compose, get yourself back together because she's walking away, and she got this switch, and it's just looking nice, and you're trying to not think those thoughts because you're being celibate. That just means that you are a healthy man.
Right.
I heard it like this once, right? I heard it like this once. I had a pastor friend of mine years ago. This is back when we were married. Like, him and I used to chop it up a lot about being husbands. And he had an older guy tell him like this. When it comes to visually, because guys generally are visual creatures, he says one of the mistakes that men make is that they don't appreciate the beauty of a woman. They have to have the beauty of a woman. There's appreciation and then there's beauty. A married man will be lying to himself if he sees a pretty woman and tries to convince himself that she's ugly. No, she's pretty. Okay, now keep it moving. You know, if you're trying to be celibate, I'll probably give that same advice. You know, she's very beautiful. She may even have a nice shape and probably all the features I want in a female. But I'm gonna appreciate it and then keep it moving. But if you're vibing, it's tough. It's definitely tough. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean,
boundaries,
I think Yeah. I mean, for Boogie, I think that I commend you on that, to say that you want to do that. And I think that the mindset is the biggest thing. So you have to work on the mindset, like Dre said, to create a when it comes to when you think about sex. Yeah.
Yeah. Even's on his money. He says, like an air traffic controller, you simply cannot allow some of those thoughts to land. And, yeah. And you watch sermons together. You got to watch that too, because watching sermons could be just like Netflix and chilling. Careful.
Yeah. And so basically, to be honest, you do have to turn off a lot of stuff. Me and my husband first got together, we were dating. We kind of like tried to not do the sex thing for 6 months. And so my biggest thing was that when I got in my car, I loved to listen to the music. I paid attention to certain music that I listened to. There are certain things that I just didn't watch on TV, because I get myself in a position where I would. That is so true. Those setting those healthy boundaries. There are certain things that you didn't, you might not want to engage in, certain places you may not want to go. So, I mean, yeah, that mindset is a big one when it comes to sex. You got to think when those sex scenes come on, you got to turn the channel.
Yeah. Can I share something that Jack Chernak said on Facebook? He says, it's like a flower, right? If you love it, you will smell it. But if you want it, you'll pluck it. There's a difference. And I'm like that. I'm looking into that. And that's actually a very good analogy too. You see a flower, you appreciate the flower for what it is. You're able to smell it and appreciate the fragrance.
Right.
But some of us will pluck the flower out because we want it. And what's going to happen to that flower? It's going to die. you're going to put it in your house in a vase and some water. It's only going to live but so long. Very good analogy, Jack. Yeah, where's everybody at? Like, all these analogies, man. I'm taking notes. I'm going to write a book. I'm stealing your stuff. No, I won't steal your stuff, I promise. I'll give you credit for it.
Yeah.
If you love it, you will let it grow. What good is a plucked flower? Very nice. Very good. And Jack, everybody on Get Vocals giving you high five. So good analogy, guys. And I really appreciate the comments, the engagement, the interaction. You guys are amazing and giving us a lot of good feedback. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Wow. We appreciate that. I love it. Shannon saying celibate women struggle too. You're not alone, Boogie. You're not. you just hear more about it. Women share more about their, being celibate than men, but women do struggle with it. I mean, we have those same thoughts. Let's see who else says something.
Okay. And Jada is going to have a show next Wednesday at 8 p.m. So we're going to make sure to all catch that show on Get Vocal, 8 o'clock next Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Right.
For you. All right. It's like 9:08. We should probably, we have 57 minutes and 33 seconds. So, man, we got to close out. But this was a great conversation.
Yes, it was. I enjoyed you, Dre, today, and all of you that joined us here on the show. We appreciate that. So, Dre, I guess we'll get ready to shut it down and share how we can connect with you if you're interested in joining us in a conversation. You can find me on Facebook at Albany Riggins Relationship Coach, Instagram at Albany Riggins. Or if you would like to join me in a conversation, just go to support@albanyriggins.com. Just email me if you would like to have a one-on-one conversation and follow up with you through that opportunity. Dre?
Now I'm going to show you guys how fancy I am. Hopefully you guys can see it. Did it come up? Did all my social media stuff come up?
It came up.
All right, so you can hit me up on Instagram at Andre_D_Harrison. Hit me up on Twitter at Andre D. Harrison. On Facebook @Andre.D.Harrison. And on YouTube, I have a family vlog with my sons, Harrison Family Vlogs. You can search that on YouTube as well. Yeah. Next Thursday, April 4th, we're going to be having a discussion on finding your purpose before you start looking for a spouse. Finding your purpose before you start looking for a spouse. It's going to be a great show, great conversation. So please make sure you guys tune in next Thursday at 8 p.m. Live with us. And if you're on Facebook, we want to encourage everyone on Facebook to try to get vocal. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you guys the link. I'm going to type it in now for you to connect with Get Vocal. Get on Get Vocal to watch it live there too, okay? There we go. All right. So let's close it out. Man, great having this discussion with you, Albany, Shannon, Free, Jada, Steven, Boogie, Melvin, Dead, who else? Marisol, Big Bad Brad, who I didn't even know was here. What's going on, bro? Jack, Shannon again, Tracy. Tracy was like giving us nuggets in the Facebook chat as well. Zanaya, Addie, everybody that was, Jack, did I say Jack? Yeah, thank you so much for your interaction. This is a conversation that we all can engage in. So please connect with us every week that we do this and talk with us. Let us do this together. Right. Every pun intended. I'm not going to lie. Every pun intended.
We love you all. We thank
you. All right. Everybody have a good night and we'll see you next week.